Last week, we witnessed the largest organized gathering in history dedicated to honoring those who learn Torah and those who support Torah. The ultimate celebration of the Yisachar Zevulun partnership. This relationship is the perfect symbiosis. Yisachar learning Torah while Zevulun supports him financially. In turn, Zevulun receives a share in the spiritual reward of Limudat Torah. In Parsha of Zoysa Bracha, the Pasuk says, Smach Zevulun b'tzesecha, Yisachar b'alecha. Rejoice Zevulun in your excursions on your business trips, and Yisachar in your tents in the Beis Medrash. Chazal point out something remarkable. The Torah not only places Zevulun in the same Pasuk as Yisachar, but gives Zevulun primary billing. Why? Because it is Zevulun's support that enables Yisachar to sit and learn Torah. Even more intriguing is the fact that the Torah uses the word smach, rejoice, only by Zevulun, and it doesn't say it by Yisachar. It doesn't say smach Yisachar. Why not? Shouldn't someone who spends his life immersed in Torah be the most joyful of all? And the answer lies in the very nature of this partnership. Yisachar learns Torah, but is dependent on Zevulun for support. He desires financial stability, gashmius, in order to continue his learning. Zevulun, on the other hand, has the money. What is his desire? Ruchnius. He yearns for the spiritual merit that comes from supporting Torah. His longing is for something above and beyond the material. In that sense, Zevulun is on a higher level. Yisachar wants money to facilitate Torah learning. Zevulun wants Torah to give meaning to his material success. And that is why the Torah mentions Zevulun first. And that is why the Torah uses smach by Zevulun exclusively. Because his yearning is purely spiritual. And with that, I'd like to share with you an incredible story I once heard from Rabbi Waxman. Back in the 80s, there was a younger man in Lakewood that was married for 5 years, and he very much still wanted to stay in Koil. But money ran out, and his parents could no longer support him. So one morning, with tears in his eyes, he tells his wife, "I lined up a job interview for later today." His wife tells him, "Let's look around the house. Maybe we can sell something, and you can still stay in Koil a little bit longer." They hardly had any silver, and their furniture was third hand to begin with. She thinks for a moment, and she says, "You know what? Here's my diamond ring. Sell it." He tells her, "No, I can't do that. They say a diamond is forever." But his wife insisted. She said, "If you can learn for a few more months, it's worth more to me than my diamond ring." So he calls his friend to find out where you can sell a diamond ring. His friend tells him, "I have a cousin that works in Manhattan, in the diamond district. He's an honest person. You can trust him. I'll give you an estimate." So the next day he travels to Manhattan. He comes into the store, and a Hasidic Yid is manning the shop. And he asks him, "How can I help you?" So this younger man reaches into his pocket. "I want to sell this ring." So the store owner takes out his loop. He looks at the ring. He tells him, "You know, it's only a 0.45 and it has a flaw. I'll give you $1,500 for the ring." And the young man hesitated. Then the store owner tells him, "You know what? It might be worth more. Go down the block to my brother's store. He has more experience. Show him the ring. Maybe he'll pay you more money." In the meantime, he runs into his office in the back of the store and he quickly calls his brother. "Moshe, I'm sending you a younger man. He wants to sell a ring. Find out why he's selling it. And whatever you pay him, I'll pay you half." The young man walks down the street and walks into the store and he shows him the ring. And the store owner asks this younger man, "Can I ask you why you're selling this ring?" So he tells him, "I'm in Koil and we're pressed for money. And my wife suggested I sell her ring so that I can remain in Koil a little bit longer." "Okay." So the store owner takes out his loop. He looks at the ring for a few minutes and he tells him, "This ring is worth $10,000. The younger man is stunned. He tells the store owner, "Didn't you see that it's only a 0.45 and it has a flaw?" "Yes, I saw everything." The younger man tells him, "Okay, it's a sale." So this store owner goes to the back of the store, goes into a safe, pulls out $10,000 cash from a brown paper bag, and he hands it to the younger man. And the younger man is overjoyed. And as he's about to leave the store owner calls him back, and he picks up the ring, and he tells him, "Give this back to your wife. I don't know how much this ring is truly worth, but your wife is worth a lot more than this ring." Talk about the ultimate Yisachar Zevulun partnership. This younger man had a burning desire to learn Torah. And these two brothers, working in the hustle of Manhattan's diamond district, yearned to have a share in that Torah. They may have been jewelers by trade, but they were supporters of Torah in the deepest, truest sense. And that is what Adira at Torah is all about. Not just a gathering of people. Not just an event, but a celebration of the bond between those who live Torah and those who give their hearts and their treasures to make it possible. And now, we know. Have a wonderful day.